Well, summertime is here, and while the kids are counting down the days until school's out, parents and grandparents might be counting something else, the cost. Hi, I'm Rob West. Keeping kids entertained during the summer doesn't have to break the bank. Today, we're highlighting 10 fun, free things your family can do this summer. Activities that build memories, not debt. Then we have lots of great listener questions ahead, but we won't be taking your live calls today because this program is pre-recorded. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. You know, it's tempting to spend your way into a good time. A movie out with popcorn and drinks could easily run $100 for a family of four. A trip to a major league ballpark could cost, are you ready, $250. Take me out to the ball game? These days it might mean take me out to the poorhouse. But here's the good news. Some of the best memories don't come from expensive outings. They come from creativity, time together, and just a little planning. So here are 10 fun, meaningful, and absolutely free things you can do this summer. First, go to the library. Today's libraries are more than just books. They often host reading challenges, puppet shows, craft days, and even Lego clubs, especially during the summer. Plus, a trip to the library builds lifelong learning habits and gives kids a break from screen time. It's a win-win. Number two, have a themed movie marathon. Movie nights are a classic, but why not turn them into a theme night? Dress up like your favorite characters, make homemade popcorn, and watch movies you already own or can stream for free through your library. It's a cozy, low-cost way to enjoy time together. Third, check your community calendar. Many towns and cities host summer concerts, community movie nights, or festivals, and they're often completely free. These events are not only fun, but a great way to connect with neighbors and experience community, something Scripture encourages us to pursue. Number four, plan a backyard campout. You don't need a mountain getaway to go camping. Pitch a tent, roast marshmallows, and tell stories under the stars. Take time to marvel at the night sky with your kids. Psalm 8, 3, and 4 reminds us that when we consider the heavens, we're filled with awe at the God who made us and cares for us. Fifth, host a yard sale. Let the kids gather items, price them, and help run their own mini shop. This is a chance to teach stewardship, contentment, and generosity, especially if they choose to give a portion of the proceeds to someone in need. Six, try geocaching. If your family enjoys a good treasure hunt, geocaching is a blast. All you need is a smartphone and a free app, and you can start searching for small caches hidden all over your town. It's a great way to explore new places and bond as a family, and again, completely free. Seven, organize a neighborhood game day. Remember playing kickball or capture the flag? Sometimes the simplest games are the most fun. Reach out to other parents in your neighborhood and set up a recurring game day or water balloon battle. You can rotate houses and share the fun at no cost. Number eight, create a summer bucket list. Get the kids involved and write down a list of free or simple things they want to do this summer. Things like building a fort, catching fireflies, or learning a new skill. Then, check them off one by one. You'll build anticipation, stay organized, and, of course, make memories along the way. Number nine, explore local parks and trails. Nature is one of God's most accessible gifts. A walk through the woods, a bike ride, or a visit to a preserve can stir the soul and open the eyes to the beauty of God's creation. Psalm 19:1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and so does every bird song and wildflower along the trail." And number 10, finally, serve together as a family. Whether it's volunteering at a food pantry, visiting a nursing home, or baking treats for neighbors, these acts of service teach kids the joy of giving. Jesus said in Acts 20:35, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Serving others is one of the most meaningful things you can do as a family. It's easy to assume that fun comes with a price tag, but often the most meaningful moments cost nothing at all. This is a reminder that some of God's greatest gifts, like laughter, love, and sunshine, are freely given. So as you plan your summer, don't focus on how much you can spend. Focus on how you can wisely steward the time God has given you with the ones you love. And take it from me, as a dad with one headed off to college and one already there, this time passes so quickly. So This is a great opportunity for you to invest, be present, and it doesn't have to break the bank. As I said, we're off today, so don't call in, but we've got some great calls lined up in advance, so we'll go to those just around the corner. I'm Rob West, and this is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word.
Today, we remember D-Day. It's the day when thousands of brave soldiers stormed the beaches of Normandy and turned the tide of World War II. The soldiers knew many would not make it back home, and yet they pressed forward with courage. Today, their sacrifice reminds us how fragile life can be. James 4:14 says, "Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." None of us are promised another day. That's why we need to think beyond this life. Our time here is short, but through faith in Jesus Christ, we have the promise of eternal life with Him in glory. And you'll grow in your walk with Christ through daily time in God's Word. Just visit getanchor.com.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Hey moms and dads, are you at your wit's end? Hi, this is Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. I'm so grateful for the partnership we have with American Family Radio. We share a common goal to bring hope to hurting families through the life-changing medium of radio. Be sure to listen Saturday afternoons at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Find help and hope for your family with Parenting Today's Teens.
We are grateful for support from Crossmark Global Investments. They are a faith-based firm with a goal of offering values-based investments to help align financial choices and faith, ensuring a portfolio that reflects what matters most. Crossmark does this through investment solutions that span the capital market spectrum, from large cap to small cap strategies, including equity, fixed income, and balanced strategies. They are led by industry veteran Bob Dahl, CFA, a regular guest on the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at crossmarkglobal.com.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Well, let's take your questions today. We're ready to dive in, and we're going to begin in Indiana today. Hi, Annie. Go ahead.
Hi. Yes, thank you for taking my call, first of all. I'm having some financial problems big time, and I got a lien put on my property. I own my own house. I'm retired, and the only thing that I have coming in is my I'm a little bit slow on my memory, too.
No problem.
Just want to advise you on that. And so sometimes I lose my train of thought.
No problem.
I got the lien put on my property, and I'm afraid I might lose my house. I only have, let's see, what is it that I have? I have... Oh, here it goes, the memory thing again.
It's okay.
Like I said, I do own my own house. I owe $3,100 and some on a credit card that I have.
Okay.
And And I don't know. I got the lien. I don't know if that means that it's too late for me to do anything to help me out on that. And yeah. I don't know what I can do.
Okay. Yeah, I realize this can be a heavy weight that you're carrying here, and certainly we want to help you navigate through this. As a first step, I'd like to provide a certified Christian financial counselor if you would be interested in taking advantage of it. We would pay for it, Annie, so there wouldn't be any cost to you. But this would be somebody who, first of all, is a Christ follower, but second of all, has been trained and committed their time to serve God's people in this area of financial counseling. And I think that person, whether you do it over the phone or, you know, a web connection of some kind, probably over the phone, could help you just get a lay of the land. How much do you owe? You know, what income do you have? And what is the priority next steps? Because obviously we want to protect your home. We want to protect the equity in the home. So being able to not only contact your creditors, but address the lien directly. So the starting point there is to determine the lien type. Is it a judgment? Probably is. And then you'd contact the lien holder to negotiate a payment plan or a partial settlement. And, you know, I think if it's, you know, with a property lien, that, of course, clouds your property title, blocking a sale or a refinance. And so there are certain steps that can be taken there. But I think that really is the first step for somebody to try to just help you figure out what is owed, what income do you have, and then what is that path forward. So if you'd be open to that, I'd like for you to stay on the line. My team is going to get your information, and we will, again, cover the cost of that certified Christian financial counselor to call you and begin to work with you to see if they can help you navigate your situation. Would you be open to that?
I would, yes, yeah.
Okay, very good. All right, so Annie, stay right there. We'll get your info and have somebody get in touch with you right away. God bless you. We'll be praying for you. Thanks for calling today. Matt called a moment ago from Chicago. He was unable to hold. His battery was dying on his phone. So here's Matt's question. He says, once you retire and you pay tithes and offerings and you are now receiving Social Security, are you supposed to pay tithes for that as well? And it's a great question. You know, I think the big idea is that giving, and I'm not saying Matt was indicating any of this, but let me just say first, giving shouldn't be motivated by guilt, shouldn't be about control, shouldn't be about pride, shouldn't be about us. I think we see that clearly with the Pharisee's prayer that revealed his self-righteousness in Luke 18. Instead, I think New Testament giving is about being, first of all, a priority, that we should honor the Lord with our wealth and the first fruits of our produce. We should give proportionately. Remember the Apostle Paul said to give in keeping with your income. I think that's proportionate giving. Giving sacrificially. David's declaration in 2 Samuel, he said, I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God that cost me nothing. Clearly, there was sacrificial giving going on with the widow's mite. So I think that's a principle. Also, cheerfully, Paul makes it very clear in 2 Corinthians, God loves a cheerful giver. And I think joyful giving reflects trust in God's provision. But what about the tithe specifically, which is if we apply that Old Testament principle of the tithe, you would be giving on your increase, a tenth. So for somebody like Matt in Chicago, where he said, I've been giving all during my working years on the gross. So how do I think about that in light of my Social Security, given that a lot of that was paid in through my FICA taxes and I already tithed on it? And I think you've really got a couple of options. I mean, maybe there's more than two. Certainly there are, but I'll lay out two. One would be the simple approach, if you will, where you just say, yep, I realize that I've been tithing all along the way, but I'm going to consider every dime I receive, every penny I receive as a gracious gift from the Lord. And I'm going to give a tithe, a tenth on that increase coming back to me, and I can't outgive God. And so I'm just going to make that gift. And by the way, Randy Alcorn calls the tithe the training wheels of giving, the starting point, not the ending point. But the other approach, and I think this is not a second-rate approach, this would be just as legitimate, would be to say, I'd really like to try to understand what portion of my monthly Social Security check is not a return of what I paid in, but really the increase. Now, what would that increase consist of? Well, that increase would consist of a couple of things. It would consist of that portion that was your employer's portion, because remember, if you were a W-2 employee, you know, with the FICA taxes, you paid half of it and your employer paid half of it. So 6.2% was paid by your employer. You would have not tithed on that portion. And so that would be part of your increase. The interest in the Social Security Trust Fund would be part of your increase. And you could also consider the cost of living adjustments part of the increase. So if we were to break it down, and I actually ran this analysis some time ago just because we were getting so many calls on this, and you have to make some assumptions. But if you assume the typical retiree earning an average income who retires at full retirement age and lives to their life expectancy, which is 84 to 85, you know, for a male, a little older than that for a female, then here's how it breaks down. Essentially, you would consider, this is again a rough estimate, 40% of every Social Security check would be considered a return of principal, a return of what you paid into the system and therefore already tithed on. And 60% would be essentially the gain that represents the employer portion, represents the increases from the Social Security Trust Fund, the cost of living adjustments, those types of things. And so you could very quickly just say, all right, on whatever I get, 60% of that I'm going to tithe on. And, you know, that's going to cover that portion that was not representative of what I paid in or, you know, my employee's share. So hopefully that helps you. At least, you know, some of you might say, really, you're going to go to that level? Well, if that's the way you want to approach it, at least you have some rationale to do it. All right. Now, just a quick reminder as we head into this next break, don't call in. Our team is not here today, but we have some great questions we've lined up in advance. Those will be coming just on the other side of this break. A quick reminder, if you'd like to support our work, you can do that on our website, faithfi.com. Just click give. More to come on Faith and Finance right after this. We'll be right back.
The mission of AFA is to inform, equip, and activate individuals and families to strengthen the moral foundations of American culture and to give aid to the church here and abroad in its task in fulfilling the Great Commission. The vision of American Family Association is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training in the interest of cultural transformation.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
You're young. You don't go to the doctor that often, yet health insurance is still so expensive. If your health insurance costs too much, maybe you should switch to an affordable alternative. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers programs starting under $100 per month. Check off the affordable box on your list and get back to what you really love, running your business or caring for your kids, and have peace of mind while doing it. Visit chministries.org/faithfi to enroll today.
I'll do some stand-up comedy, Abe will do some preaching, Tim will MC the whole thing, and I'm really excited about it. The Weekend with AFA is a chance for our supporters to get better acquainted with the people and ministry you're supporting.
It's a Weekend with AFA, Thursday, October 2nd through Saturday, October 4th in Tupelo, Mississippi. Speakers will include Abraham Hamilton III, Jenna Ellis, Tim Barton, Tim Wildman, and more. Register at afa.net/weekend.
We're grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
American Family Association President Tim Wildman.
Dad was concerned about the direction America was headed, and he was determined to do something about it. Maybe that describes you today. If it does, I want to strongly encourage you to consider a charitable gift annuity to American Family Association Foundation.
Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
So thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance as we accept our role as stewards or managers of the King of Kings resources, wanting to be and desiring to be found faithful as we hold God's money loosely and live appropriately. Hey, let me mention, as we head toward June the 30th, which is the fiscal year end here at Faith and Finance, we could use your financial support. If you'd like to be a part of funding this work for another 12 months of ministry, you count on this broadcast and you've benefited from it in some way, we'd invite you to be a financial supporter. You can do that with any amount, and we mean that. It's all helpful. You can make your gift online at faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Just click the Give button. Thanks in advance. Hey, before we take a few more phone calls, let me address the topic of how much is enough briefly. You know, the great Christian apologist and author G.K. Chesterton once wrote, there are two ways to get enough. One is to continue to accumulate more and more. The other is to desire less. You know, a secular worldview tells us that more is always better, so there's no end to accumulation. The Christian worldview, on the other hand, turns that idea upside down. You see, according to Chesterton, enough isn't about getting more. Perhaps it's about wanting less. So how do we apply that to money matters? How much is enough, really? Well, first, we need to understand the difference between needs and wants. Believers in Christ serve a God who promises to supply our needs. In Matthew 6, he says, and he reminds his listeners not to be anxious about these things. He says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? You see, this means when we put Jesus first, we will always have enough of what we need to live, and we can trust God to know what that is. Where people get confused, perhaps, is in the matter of wants and desires, the things that are not essential for survival. How much is enough of those? Well, that's really a matter of priorities. You see, if we seek first the kingdom, he either exists and is sovereign, or he doesn't exist and you're on your own. Once you commit to following Christ, which we all should do, and that free gift is there for us to accept, well, we have to admit that God is sovereign, and that changes everything. You see, placing the Lord first means acknowledging his ownership of everything. And as the Holy Spirit works in your heart, your motivation to accumulate gradually changes. And by the grace of God, it moves from a self-centered approach to a God-centered approach. You see, when Jesus is the Lord of your life, your idea of enough begins to change too, because you're trusting God to meet your needs and your desires start to line up with what God wants. You begin to desire less of worldly things. And all of this is a part of the miraculous heart change that happens when God gets a hold of you. So while the worldly person is asking, how can I get more? The Christian begins asking, how can I serve more with what God has provided? You see, God gives us the ability to make money through skilled work and business ownership and investing and other righteous means. These are gifts from the Lord, and they're to be used for kingdom work, from taking care of our families, churches, employees, and communities, to serving those in need around the world. So no matter how much you have, the principles are the same. Everything belongs to the Lord. God has placed where you are for his sovereign reasons, because he loves you and has important kingdom work for you to do. So perhaps you can think about that and realize that following Christ is the way to peace, joy, and the abundant life. So when we ask how much is enough, we may actually be asking the wrong question. For believers, Christ followers, the real question is, who is enough? I hope that's an encouragement to you today. Before we head to the phones today, in the news, savings rates are still pretty impressive today at many online banks, even though time may be running out. Of course, those rates may require keeping a balance as high as $5,000. That can be a requirement. Some financial institutions have started trimming their rates by 10 to 15 basis points. That's about 0.1%. 100 basis points is 1%. That's signaling a possible downward trend. Why does this matter? Well, because many savers still have funds parked in accounts yielding less than 1%. So moving to a high yield account could add hundreds, if not thousands, of dollars in interest over a year to your savings with no added risk, especially if you're keeping a fully funded emergency fund of 3 to 6 months' expenses. So what should you do? Well, check your current APY, that's annual percentage yield. If it's under 4%, consider shopping around for a better rate. Bankrate.com can help you locate those high yields and evaluate the additional requirements. All right, let's head to the phones here today. We're going to dive in. Let's go to Oklahoma. Hi, Ryan. How can I help?
Yes, I just heard last week you were talking about trust and be able to protect you. It's like, and I'm just curious, my dad has a trust and he has a couple of rent houses, and I don't know if that'd protect the assets from like nursing home or something like that, or if that wouldn't work. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a great question. Largely to do with what's called the Medicare spend down requirements. And a trust may protect you. It depends on the kind of trust, how it's structured, and of course, Medicare's rules. Medicaid often covers long-term nursing home cares for those who qualify, but it does require low income and assets. So typically under $2,000 for an individual, excluding certain exempt assets, that would be a primary home up to a value cap. And then you need to typically spend down those assets, prompting the question of whether or not then the trust can shield them. Let's talk about the various types of trusts, and ultimately you'll need to connect with an attorney, but we'll just talk generally here for a second. The most common kind of trust folks will have is a revocable trust, where you can make changes over time. They're normally used for avoiding probate and estate planning, but not asset protection. And as such, there would not be protection with a revocable living trust for your assets or your dad's assets from nursing home costs or the Medicaid spend down. Now, you may be able to get that though with a irrevocable trust. If it's structured correctly, you have to relinquish, or he would have to relinquish, control and access to the trust assets. So Medicaid would not be able to count those in a properly designed irrevocable trust. The downside is, though, he would be giving that up. Let's talk a bit more about that after the break. Stay right there. We'll continue to unpack this. We'll be right back.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Since 1994, Timothy Plan has shared good news with investors and advisors by offering faith-honoring mutual funds and exchange-traded funds. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners Limited and ETFs distributed by Foreside Funds Services, LLC. Investing involves risks, including possible loss of principal.
As a nurse, I primarily work with children who are abused and exploited in trafficking, and I frequently see very unfair situations. We must talk about the issue of abuse. We can't base our actions on fear. We have to be faith-informed in what we do.
The Dr. Nurse Mama Show. For more from Dr. Jessica Peck, tune in at 2 p.m. Central on American Family Radio or on the podcast page at AFR.net.
Are you a financial professional looking to grow your practice while offering advice that aligns with your Christian values? By becoming a certified Kingdom Advisor, you'll gain the biblical wisdom and professional credibility to serve clients who are seeking faith-based financial guidance. Each year, more than 75,000 people search for a certified Kingdom Advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Start your journey today by going to kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
What if managing your money could actually draw you closer to God? What would happen if we began to see God as our ultimate treasure? The FaithFi app helps you do more than budget. It helps you integrate your faith and financial decisions for the glory of God. With easy-to-use envelope futures, top biblical financial content, and a supportive in-app community, you'll learn to steward God's resources wisely and grow in generosity. Download the FaithFi app today from your app store or visit faithfi.com and click app.
When you hear this...
This is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by credit card debt? As followers of Christ, we are called to be good stewards of what God has given us. That's why our trusted partner, Christian Credit Counselors, is here to help. Their debt management program can help you pay off your debt 80% faster while honoring your commitments in full. Take the first step toward financial freedom today. Visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
We're so glad you're along with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Our goal, our hope and prayer for you is that you would see God as your ultimate treasure as we explore God's Word as it relates to money decisions. Before the break, we were talking to Ryan in Oklahoma. He's wondering about various types of trusts that might protect his father's assets. His dad's 78 years old and may need nursing home care. And really, this, at the end of the day, Ryan, is something you need to get with an attorney on. Bottom line is, it really is going to depend on the type of trust that you have. So a revocable trust, definitely no protection. An irrevocable trust that's established more than 5 years before needing the care may provide that protection. And that would most often be either just an irrevocable trust where the assets are relinquished and access to the trust assets are relinquished, given the name irrevocable. And as again, as long as you get past that 5-year look back period, it may in fact protect those assets. Another type of trust that's very similar is what's called a Medicaid Asset Protection Trust. That's just a specific type of irrevocable trust designed for this purpose, to shield assets from Medicaid while you retain some benefits. So you could get an income from the trust, though that may count toward the Medicaid income limits. So I think your next step is to visit with an estate attorney, specifically an elder law specialist, who can walk you through all of these things and help you understand kind of how to approach this. The only other thing I would just throw out, would be just the biblical perspective on this, whether protecting assets through a legal means, you know, is something that you could feel good about just in terms of your own convictions about it. I think, you know, the idea behind Medicaid is for it to kick in once assets are depleted. And so I think you just need to kind of think and pray through the ethical side of this in addition to the legal or the mechanical side, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. If you need an estate attorney there in Oklahoma, Ryan, you don't have one, you could reach out to a certified kingdom advisor on our website, faithfi.com. They'll all have a godly estate planning attorney that they work with. And you'd want to, again, reach out to somebody specifically who has elder law experience and ask about an irrevocable trust and perhaps more specifically a Medicaid asset protection trust. And they can talk you through the details on it. Thank you for your call, sir. I hope that helps. We appreciate you being on the program. Lane is in Chicagoland. Go ahead.
Hi. We have an adult child that we've secured Social Security disability for, and she's been getting it for years. And we just filed our taxes, and our CKA had asked, oh, are you reporting the monthly Social Security benefit as rent or a gift? And we've never reported it as either one of those things because we use that money. Because she lives with us, we use that money to support her. Now, we don't always use the full amount, you know, but everything. So I'm just wondering, are we required to do that, or should we think about reporting it as rent or as a gift? I don't even know.
It's a good question, and it really depends on the situation. Do you normally prepare your own tax return, or do you have somebody do that for you?
Someone does it for us.
Okay, so this would be a conversation to happen with that, have with that person who could help you kind of wade through it. At the end of the day, well, let me ask, do you claim her as a dependent on your taxes?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, so if you provide over half of her support and she meets the IRS criteria, then you likely do. That strengthens the case for, you know, treating these payments as shared expenses, not gifts or rent. The IRS is less likely to view intra-family, you know, contributions as taxable income when she's claimed as a dependent for the reasons that you mentioned. You know, ultimately, you know, if somebody is doing a predictable amount where there's an agreement in place and they cover, you know, a specific amount every month that, you know, basically is a monthly amount for a room, utilities or food, it can be considered as rental income that would then need to be reported, where there's an expectation or an understanding that this is a regular amount being paid for her housing. Where it's a gift is when typically when it's voluntary, it's not tied to a specific obligation, and it's coming in, you know, there's no formal agreement for her to pay, it's irregular, that's where, you know, it would be often considered a gift. If it's just a her portion of a shared household expense, so a proportional amount, let's say a third of the utilities, if there's three people living there, there's no profit motive, you know, typically that would not be reported as income and seen as kind of mutual support within a family household. And I think, again, because she's claimed as a dependent, that would further strengthen that case. But at the end of the day, kind of deciding exactly how to handle this, which is likely exactly the way you've been doing it, you would really want to talk to your CPA about it.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All right, Lane, we appreciate your call. Call anytime. Let's go to Cleveland, Ohio. Hi, Mary. How can I help you?
Hi, Rob. Thanks for taking my call. It's so funny that you're talking about special needs because I have a special needs person question too. So my daughter is 25 years old and she, you know, I'm 54. So I kind of want to put something away in regards to a trust or what have you. I'm not quite sure what all is really out there and which is the most beneficial for a kid because I have two regular, typical children as well. They're 22 and 23. My question basically is, I know that there's special needs trust. I've heard something about an ABLE account or whatever. I just don't know the best route to go to best protect her because we do have some annuities that, of course, the three of them are the beneficiaries for. So
yeah,
I don't know how
absolutely.
Much is, you know, all
yeah.
together.
Well, I appreciate that. And yeah, you could use perhaps both of them together. And we actually did a program on this not too long ago. I'll have my team get your information and we'll send you a link to it. But essentially, the Special Needs Trust and the ABLE account offer a way to manage finances. And the key is they preserve eligibility for government benefits, so like Supplemental Security Income and Medicaid. Essentially, the Special Needs Trust holds assets for the benefit of the person with disabilities, again, without disqualifying them from the government benefits. It funds the supplemental needs. It gives flexible funding, so it can be funded with family money or inheritance or even life insurance proceeds. And then it can provide lifetime support. It can even be tailored to their unique needs in terms of how the funds should be used. And you can have some, you know, say in constructing that and putting all of that in place. And then the trustee administers it. The ABLE account is similar. Can't put as much in there. Only up to $100,000 is exempt from the Social Security asset limit. But that provides tax-free growth. It's easy to manage. And it has an even wider range of uses. So it can cover not only housing, but food without impacting the SSI and the Medicaid. And that's why a lot of people use both of them. The special needs for large sums like inheritances or long-term planning, the ABLE account for smaller everyday savings because you can use it for more purposes. So putting them together can be really powerful. What I would do is find an estate planning attorney who has some expertise in this area to set them up. But I think at the end of the day, having one or perhaps both of them in place so that you know you've got the assets there and it doesn't affect government assistance is going to be really helpful. Stay in the line. We'll be right back.
While we rejoice that Roe was overturned, the pro-choicers are very energized. They are winning the arguments and elections. We need to win them back. The people who bring you Wretched Radio have produced a powerful, persuasive, and proactive 13-lesson video series to help.
You don't need a PhD to tell you that human life is more valuable than the life of the ants.
Order Life is Best at shop.wretched.org and listen to Wretched Radio Saturday nights at 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Every single believer is called to ministry. Don't buy the narrative that is limited to a select few. Every single believer is called to execute our King's Great Commission. But let us be about our Father's business. Our nation's greatest and most enduring need is for repentance of the unbeliever. Repentance across the board. Believers who live lifestyles of repentance.
Join Abraham Hamilton III on the Hamilton Corner. Weekdays at 5 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
FaithFi is grateful for support from OneAscent. OneAscent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. OneAscent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good. To explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values, more information is available at OneAscent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Today, put your heart into something that makes an eternal impact. Heart for Lebanon is sharing the gospel and protecting girls from early marriage, child labor, and violence. Your gift of $114 helps reach 3 at-risk girls with hope and a brighter future. Give generously. Text FAITH to 98656. That's FAITH to 98656. Or visit faithfi.com/Lebanon.
The Ten Commandments are the foundation of a life that pleases God.
God gave us rules because rules can keep us safe from danger. They help us to know what is right and wrong.
They are God's word. They are God's laws. And they show that all humans are sinners.
When we instill them in our children, their lives will be forever changed.
They show us the way to live, the way to love our neighbor, the way to love God with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their mind.
Soli Deo Gloria, to God alone be the glory.
The Ten Commandments Speech Challenge is a great way to get our youth aged 7 to 17 to learn and really focus on the depth of the Ten Commandments. All they have to do is write and present a 3 to 5 minute speech on why the Ten Commandments are important, with special emphasis on the first commandment. It's also a great family project because you can help them write and record their speech before June 30th. All the details are at afr.net/Ten Commandments.
I'm grateful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Sit back and enjoy. We're going to cover a lot of ground here in our final segment. We'll get to as many calls as we can. Let's go to Florida. And Lauren, thank you for your patience. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hi there. How can I help?
So I'm a teacher in Florida. And when I started teaching, they had two options. You could either do the full pension or you could do the investment plan. But in order to do the pension, you had to stay with the state for within the state for 8 years. So at the time, I didn't plan to stay here. I was going to move. So I went into the investment. But now I'm 19 years in and I'm thinking that, you know, maybe I made a poor choice and I should probably switch over to the pension. So there's a deficit in the pension. However, I do have an IRA that has some money in it that I could roll over to buy into the pension. And there still would be a little bit of deficit that I'd have to pay for myself. So I'm just not really sure if that's a smart idea to do that or to just leave the money in the investment plan. But whatever it's invested in doesn't seem to be getting like a very good return. But I know that like what it invests in is like some kind of funds, but I know I can take control of that and kind of change what the things that are it's being invested in so that maybe try to, I guess, gain back some of the loss. So I'm not really sure what the best option is.
Yeah. Well, I'll give you some thoughts. I mean, it may be helpful just to have an advisor look at all the options that are available in the investment plan and just help you look at historical performance and maybe run some scenarios for you to play out you staying and getting, you know, a more reasonable rate of return, perhaps by repositioning some of those investments moving forward and projecting what you would have at retirement versus the pension plan. You know, a lot of you're going to have to work with your specific retirement plan to determine, you know, whether they'll let you move over. And to your point, it sounds like you've already investigated that a bit, and they will. Usually you have like a one-time option, and you need to really think through what the implications are, would be of taking that option and, you know, the costs that will come with it. You know, the benefit of staying with the investment plan is you get to choose how you invest. Now, you know, depending on which investment you've selected, that may or may not, you know, work out for you. And I wouldn't want you to try to be, you know, ultra aggressive to kind of, quote, make up for lost time. I'd want you to have an appropriate investment mix for your age and time horizon. But it also could be that you were maybe too conservative, and so you do need to be repositioned. You know, a lot of times there's portability. You have the potential for higher returns, and unused funds can be passed to heirs, which is typically not the case with the pension, and you get obviously the tax advantages. The benefit of the pension plan is you've got a fixed monthly payment for life. You don't have the market risk. So a lot of people get more peace of mind by just knowing that they're not having to bear that full risk. And then a lot of times they include cost of living adjustments along the way to make sure that it keeps up with inflation. And then usually if you're married, you'll get a survivor's option there as well. So I think the key to determining whether or not it makes sense to stick with what you've got, even if you were to reposition some of the assets versus moving over, would ultimately be, you know, younger teachers under 40, typically the investment plan is better. If you're, you know, over 50, usually the pension is the better option because it's that guaranteed income that reduces risk closer to retirement. If you're between 40 and 50, it could kind of go either way, depending upon just kind of your risk tolerance and what you're feeling about, you know, what would give you the most peace of mind. You know, usually years of service is a big factor, but as you said, you know, you're approaching 19 or maybe you're already at 19. So you're getting to that place where, you know, that pension could be pretty attractive. Again, assuming you understand the full amount of what it would take for you to actually get into it. And then you'd have to really compare what your guaranteed monthly income would stream would be in the pension versus what your need is, and make sure that it, you know, it does fit into your overall financial plan in terms of what you think your budget will look like in that season. So I think going back to where I started, an advisor could help you first evaluate, you know, where are you at in terms of the investment mix in that investment plan. And, you know, could you just stay where you're at and make some changes versus you actually buying into the pension option and then running some scenarios on what will it actually look like to fund your lifestyle in retirement and what will that pension, you know, produce? And does that cover the gap? And if so, you may be thrilled with that to know that you've eliminated the market risk and you've, you know, covered what you need to on a monthly basis, which will give you, you know, more peace of mind. And then, you know, I think once you see those scenarios put in front of you, perhaps it'll become more clear, you know, what the better option is for you given where you're at today. Does that make sense? I know I threw a lot at you there.
Yeah, it's just making that decision that's hard because, like, yeah. I said, I have this big chunk of money in the IRA that I'd have to pay into the pension. So it's like, it's, right. I don't know if it makes sense to do that or just leave them separate and keep kind of going as it's going. So yeah. Like you said,
well, and that's why I think, yeah, you're never going to be able to, I think, have complete peace of mind until you really see those scenarios played out over time. And so that's where an advisor can run some illustrations to say, okay, let's say we leave your IRA where it is, and let's say we run that out with just a reasonable annual growth rate to determine what we'll ultimately have in the IRA if you leave it alone. And then if we reposition your investment plan with the state, here's what that could look like. And then based on those projections, here's what we think that might be able to, you know, you might be able to pull out on a monthly basis and keep that for the rest of your life, which, by the way, you would be able to leave to your heirs, which is a nice feature, versus giving up the investment plan and all or the majority of the IRA in exchange for a monthly check, and what that would mean, you know, for you and or your spouse, but it goes away at death. And then I think once you see those real numbers in front of you, you know, I think it'll become clear which is the better option, but it's not something you want to guess at. You really do want a professional to help you kind of run those scenarios out, because I think once you see it in plain sight, it'll be pretty clear.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your help. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. I would head to our website if you don't have an advisor, faithfi.com. Click find a professional. Any one of those CKs in Florida would be able to just, you could pay them for their time. They could run those scenarios, and you'd have a much better idea on what you need to do at that point. We appreciate your call today. Indianapolis is where Chris is located. Go right ahead, sir.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I would really, well, I'm almost retired, but my wife is. And I was wondering, does our credit reports matter?
You know, it always matters. It matters less because you're probably not going out looking for a mortgage. You're probably, you know, if you're buying a new car, hopefully you've got the cash to do it. Maybe you're taking out a loan, then it certainly would matter. But it matters less in that retirement season of life because typically, you know, the main purpose for your credit report, your credit score particularly, is the higher the score, the more likely it is you're going to qualify for the best rates and terms. And when you get up above that 760, you're going to qualify for top tier credit, which means the very best rates that are out there with the most favorable terms from the most number of lenders. Are there other considerations or uses for the credit report? Yes, there are, namely insurance premiums and employment consideration. So I think it's always a good idea to keep it in good standing, but I suspect it's just going to happen by default. I mean, if you're an on-time payer, you're keeping your balances low, you know, with revolving accounts like credit cards, your limit, you're never more than 30% of your limit. Just by doing those things, you're going to keep your credit score high. Is it important to do so? Yes, but it's certainly not critical for the reasons that I mentioned. Does that make sense, though?
Yeah, it's very clear. I appreciate that.
All right. Thanks for your call today. We appreciate it. Thank you. Let's head to Chicago real quick. Molly, unfortunately, I only have about a minute left. I understand you're taking early retirement from the government, and you're wondering about what to do with that thrift savings. How much do you have in there?
I think it's a little over $1 million last I checked.
Okay.
It's been a while.
Yeah, no problem. And are you planning to go get another job or retire fully?
I plan to be a full-time mom and
cool.
daughter.
Okay.
Karen, so.
Yeah. Oh, I know that can be challenging, but what a blessing that is. What is your age, if you don't mind me asking?
Early 50s.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I mean, so I would say you've got a long time horizon. We want this money to grow. I mean, typically in your 50s, we would say probably at a 60-40 portfolio, 60 stocks, 40 bonds. You could get more conservative or more aggressive from there, but that's a good benchmark. And that would be for the portion, the 60 that's in stocks, probably half of that in the C fund, the other half in the S and the I. And then for the 40 in bonds, that would be the F fund. You could also connect with a certified Kingdom advisor at faithfi.com if you wanted somebody to manage it. But I'd say stay the course, get a little more conservative, and congratulations on your early retirement. Folks, thanks for being along with us today. I'm Rob West, and on behalf of my team today, producer Devin Patrick, call screener today Pat Montague, researcher Jim Henry, I'm Rob West. This has been Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We're so grateful for our partnership with AFR, bringing you biblical wisdom as it relates to financial decision-making. Have a great day, and if you want to check out our website, go to faithfi.com. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.